We continue our learning. Leili Nishmas David ben Menachem Unushen Chaim Yaakov ben Chaz Eliyahu. We are in Maaseh Perek Hey Mishnah. Hey, we're going to discuss a little bit about Surya. We mentioned Surya in the past, which is actually part of modern day Syria. And Surya, we know, was conquered by David. It was annexed to Eretz Yisrael, and it's considered like Eretz Yisrael in certain ways. But midoraisa, it's not chayiv in mitzvos hatulios baaretz. The Chachamim, however, gave it the status of Eretz Yisrael in certain respects, and mitzvos hatulios baaretz will apply there midrabban, and that of course includes the halacha of trumas and maasos. The reason why Surya has a different status is because David HaMelech, although he did conquer in Eretz Yisrael, we have the right to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, since David HaMelech conquered it without Hashem's directive, without a divine command, and without the entire nation, others claim it's because David conquered it before he had conquered all of Eretz Yisrael that he was supposed to conquer. Therefore, it has this different status. Now, what it is, when we speak about the status of Surya, so one thing that is important to be mindful of is, what if you have a non-Jew who's growing produce in Surya? So when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, we have discussed many times what the status is of produce grown in Eretz Yisrael. There is an opinion that claims that a non-Jew does not have the ability lahafkia midei masos, his ownership of Eretz Yisrael will not release the land of its obligation to trumos umasos. However, even according to that opinion, when it comes to non-Jewish produce in Surya, everyone agrees that non-Jewish produce is not obligated in trumos umasos when it's in Surya. And therefore, we'll understand what our Mishnah is speaking about. Here we go. Perek, hey, Mishnah. Hey, alaukeach stei yarak b'Surya. A person who buys a field of vegetables in Surya. So says the Mishnah, imad shelo bala onas hamasros chayav. If the hasn't reached the onas hamasros, we mentioned that many times, time when it begins to grow. We spoke the different fruits at the beginning of the Masechta. The first parak discusses the onas hamasos. Process not over, but they begin to become ripe. So a person here, we're referring to a field that belonged to a non-Jew. And it mentions vegetables, but the truth is this applies as well to others, because vegetables, even in Eretz Yisrael, is only Darabonim. Nonetheless, in Surya, we do give it a chiv. Certainly in Surya, when we speak about fruit, it would be chayav. And the Mishnah here says, if the buyer buys the field before the vegetables that are attached to the ground had reached the onas hamasros, these vegetables are obligated in masros. So that's what it means. Here you have a Jew, so he bought it from a non-Jew in Surya. Produce of a non-Jew in Surya, we said we don't have to worry about. Aha, but the produce here is still attached to the ground, and it has yet to reach the onas hamasros. And now it's in the hands of the Jew, it's in the ownership of the Jew, this land of Surya. And now, since it hasn't reached, and it now reaches the onas hamasos while under the ownership of the Jew, so that's why the Mishnah says you're going to be chayav to separate trumos umasos. That's what the Mishnah means. If you buy this stay yarak besuria, if it hasn't reached onas hamasos, chayav in trumos umasos, umishebala onas hamasos. But if when you purchase this field from a non-Jew in Surya, it has already reached the onas hamasos, so there's no obligation, then Mishnah says, potter. And the Mishnah then says, velokate kedarko v'holich. If the Jew buys the vegetables that had reached the onas hamasros when they were still in the ownership of the non-Jew in this land of Surya that the Jew purchased, so they're exempt from masros. Even that's when he's locate, he can literally harvest the vegetables in the usual way. They're exempt from masros even if he waits to harvest them at the stage when they normally are. That's what it means. Holach kedarko, meaning you would say like this, oh, well, if you're telling me that now they grew more under the ownership of the Jew, so now you can say maybe there is a chiyuv masros. No, so that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That even though you bought them, yes, you bought them after onas hamasros, they reached onas hamasros in the hands of the non-Jew. and now you bought them, but they grow, they continue to grow to completely ripen all the way to full maturity. That makes no difference, says the Mishnah, that they matured in the under the ownership of the Jew. Makes no difference. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that he's pater from Masos, even though it matured and it grew much, from the Onas HaMasos stage until the full ripening stage, makes no difference. Now, the Mishnah, when it says locate Kedarko Vaholech, teaches us something else. And that is, when it comes to the vegetables that you bought, after the Onas HaMasos, in this field, they're attached to the ground, in the field that belonged to the non-Jew in Syria, it's saying is that the buyer has to do the harvesting of the vegetables himself. That's what it means. Locate Kedarko Vaholech. He's able to harvest the vegetables in the usual way. But if he would hire workers to do the harvesting, then he would be chayav to separate masas. Now, why should that matter? So the Chachamim were machmir and said like this, we're afraid that a person is going to make a mistake and say, oh, produce grown by a non-Jew is always exempt from masros. Even if I bought it even before the onas ha-masros, maybe I never have to worry about it. So what the Chachamim did was they said, listen, we're going to make some that's going to be assigned as a reminder that that's not true, that if you buy it before onas ha-masros, now it's yours, it reaches onas ha-masros in the ownership of the Jew. The fact that when you hire workers to harvest the produce, you're chayav to separate masros regardless of when it reached your ownership. That will serve as a reminder that a person should always be careful that there's a difference between when it's reached the onas ha-masros versus it doesn't when it comes to his harvesting himself. Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and now we understand this descending opinion. Af Yiskor Poalim Yilkot. He disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, no, it's not only the buyer himself, rather, who is able to harvest the produce when he buys the field from inserted from a non-Jew after Onas HaMasos. He says you can even have workers doing so. You don't have to make, you want to make a difference. You want to make a reminder. Well, the workers aren't able to harvest it, even if it reached the onas ha-masos in the hands of the Jew. No, we don't allow that as a reminder, and we don't need that reminder. The Jew is going to know very well that if it was in his possession when it reached, as it reached onas ha-masos, So he has to separate from Samasos. If it reached his possession after Onas HaMasros, so then he does not have to worry about it. And the fact that workers would have a special halacha, that doesn't matter, and therefore the workers are the same. Rabbi Yehuda is lenient and will allow the workers to do whatever the owner is able to do. Under what circumstances do we say that the produce is obligated in Masros if you bought it from the non-Jew before it reached the Onas HaMasos, meaning when it reached the Onas HaMasos in the ownership of the Jew, it's going to be Chayv in Masros? Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that only applies to Bizman Shekana Karka, where the Jew buys the vegetables and the field. Avol Bizman Shelo Kana Karka. But if the Jew only buys the vegetables and not the field where the vegetables are growing, then says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if it hasn't reached the onas hamasos prior to buying them, he's going to be potter. Meaning, he says the vegetables will be exempt from masos even if they were bought before they reached onas hamasos. We said if the Jew typically buys the field and it only reaches onas hamasos in the ownership of the Jew, he would typically be chayv to separate masos because it reached onas hamasos in his hands. But that's not true, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, if the Jew bought only the vegetables and not the field. Only when the Shrem Shemitah Rabbeinu says like this, not only do we say that non-Jewish owned produce is pater from masos in Surya, but even Jewish owned produce is exempt if it was growing in a where the non-Jew was the owner of the field. So that's true. It may be that the vegetables belong to the Jew when they reached Onas HaMasros. Nonetheless, they're exempt from masos because they didn't grow in a field that was owned by a Jew. That is Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Tanakam obviously says no. He says no. As long as the produce belongs to the Jew during Onos HaMasros, the Chiyuv is triggered for the Jew. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel. I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ba'medivar ha'mamur b'zman shekara karka. Aval b'zman shelo kara karka. But if the Jew didn't buy the karka, then im ad shelo balonos HaMasros, he'll be potter. And Rebbe Omer, the Mishnah concludes, af lefi cheshbon. Rebbe is not talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's halacha where you bought vegetables from a non-Jew and not the field. He's going back to the Tanakama's case, where the Tanakama spoke about the fact that the vegetables will be pater from masos. Why? Because the Jew bought them after they reached Onas HaMasos from the non-Jew. Okay, so what's Rebbe coming to tell us? So now, the Tanakhama, remember, said that vegetables that were still attached to the ground, and you bought them where they had yet, you bought them after they reached Onas HaMasos, while they were under the ownership of the non-Jew. So we said they're completely exempt from Masros, even though they continued to grow. Remember, we said that they continued to grow while they were in possession of the Jew and then became completely mature. It doesn't make a difference. Why? Because at the Onas HaMasos, which is that essential time, they were still in the hands of the non-Jew. This is what Rebbe argues with. He says it's true, whatever grew while it was the hands of the non-Jew is exempt from Masros. But that which grows after the produce was bought by the Jew, so now that is Chayv and Masos. So if you have, let's say you have a vegetable, and it grew a third, which is, according to many, is the Onas HaMasos of many of the items of produce. So grew a third. And that, while it was owned by the non-Jew, and the two-thirds, till maturity, grew in the hands of the Jew after he bought the field. So those two-thirds of that product is chayef in masos. It reminds me of, let's say you have the halacha of Bishul on Shabbos. So according to the position that we say, machal ben drusoi, once it reached that it's a third cooked, or according to the Rashi, half cooked according to the Rambam, so that's considered cooking. Okay, new. What about after that? What if I cook the item, it's already third cooked, if I cook it afterwards? Well, would I say, ain bishalacha bishal? Oh, there's no bishal after bishal. It's already cooked, so there's no cooking happening. Or do we say, like many do, that, yeah, it may be considered halakhically cooked when it's machal ben drusoi, when it's reached a third or a half cooked, but doesn't mean that if you continue cooking until it's completely cooked, that would be considered cooking on Shabbos. So that's Rebbe's position here as well. Here we go, Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav. Hametamed. Here we're talking about Temed. Okay, so the Mishnah is dealing with separating masos from this Temed, which is where you have a drink. The drink was produced where you soak wine sediment in water. So the sediment has a little bit of wine in it, and some of the few drops of wine come into the water and gives a little bit of flavor. So it's not wine, but it's very, very diluted wine, we could say. So hamisamed v'nasan mai b'mida. Here you have a person, he made temed, he poured a measure of water onto the wine, and now it's soaking. Umatsu kadei mida, so when the temed was already ready to be drunk, he realized that the amount of temed that he had was the same as the amount of water he poured in. So he poured in three pitchers of water onto the sediment, and here he has three pitchers of temed. Nothing was added. So says the Mishnah, Potter, says the Tanakhama, the Temet is exempt from Masros. Why? Well, the measure of liquid didn't increase at all. So obviously the sediment didn't add anything to added flavor, but in terms of quantity, we don't see anything that was added to the drink. And therefore, the Temet doesn't have the status of wine. It's really water that has a little bit of flavor, like some of the seltzers, right? It has a little bit of flavor, but there's nothing really significant in there. there, so therefore there's no chiyuv of masos. Now, there is a little bit of wine, and if we remind ourselves the concept of bittul barov, which is, right, that we normally assume that the majority cancels the minority, so that certainly is a bittul barov, but we mentioned in the past that tevel doesn't become nullified if there's a flavor in the mixture. Here, this is not even a flavor, this is nothing. It doesn't even give much of a taste into it at all, so this is even less significant than giving a flavor. Now, that's true that, the Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah doesn't mean that it's, and if it's a little bit more than exactly the same. Let's say we spoke about three pitchers of water and after you put the temed, you have a little flavor wine. It's still three pitchers exactly. Let's say it's a little bit more. So the truth is, even if the liquid has a little bit of an increase, it still has the status of water, and the temed is, and the question is, right, when would the temed be considered wine and then be chayv in masos? That would only be where the liquid increased to the amount of where the wine is 25% of the total. So it's a quarter of the total. So let's say you have three jugs of water into the temed, and now all of a sudden, after they give flavor, I have three pitchers. I now have four pitchers. So clearly, 25% was obviously wine. And so anywhere in between that, if it's less than that, less than 25%, it also has the status of order and there's no chiyuv of masros. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. What does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda believes that the temed will be subject to masros even if, the liquid increases by only half a pitcher. What does that mean? So he says like this. He says, in such a case, the temed really has now what do you mean? If only a half a pitcher, so why is that significant? He says, really, if it increases by half a pitcher, it really is considered as if it has a full pitcher worth of wine. Why? The liquid didn't increase by a full pitcher. So why do you assume it only increased by a half a pitcher? So that's because we assume that half of the pitcher's worth of water was absorbed into the sediment of wine. So we consider like this. The liquid began with three pitchers of water, and now it has 2.5 pitchers worth of water and 1 pitcher worth of wine. That's what happened. The water got absorbed in, so there's less water, and now it's part of the wine. That being the case, I have more than 25% of the mixture being wine. So now there is a chiyuv of masros. So Rabbi Yehuda really holds that we have to consider another factor here, and that is that the sediment is being absorbed. Tanakama didn't mention that, but Rabbi Yehuda says that that's something we have to take into account. Matzah yoser al kedemi dus. So the Mishnah explaining now, how do we do that? How do we separate the masros when I have temed? I don't know how much wine is that. I have to separate from the whole thing. What percentage? So matza yosher akademi daso motzi alav mimakom achel lefi cheshbon. If he finds that the measure of the temed was a lot more than the original measure of water, meaning the liquid increased to the point that the wine is 25% of the total, so that now we assume masos have to be separated. So this is a Tanakama as well. Tanakama will agree with this as well. So how do I do this? Motzi alav mimakom acher. He should separate masos from another place, meaning from other wine. We know that a person has that option in other cases, so this is what he should do here as well, lefi cheshbon, according to the proportion of the wine that we find in the temed. What does it mean? He doesn't have to separate masros for the whole volume of the temed, but only the part that's considered wine. So if the temed has 1 pitcher's worth of wine, so he has to separate masros for 1 pitcher worth and not any more than that. If he wants, he can separate the masos from the temet itself, if he would like to. But if he does that, so he has to be careful that he separates masos for the full amount of temed, if he would choose to do so, and not just for the wine. So let's say, for example, if a quarter of the temed is wine, so that's only that amount would be chayiv in masros. So Masa Rishon, let's say, is 1/10 of the produce, so he's going to separate 1/4 of 1/10 of the temed. Ah, from somewhere. But if he separates part of the temed as maser, so then, right, only 1/4 of what he's separating is really wine. The other 3/4 is water, and water can't have the status of maser, so he'll end up separating a full 1/10 of the temed as maser rishon.